Welcome back to another edition of the Not Safe for Women Haters Answer of the Week. The all-new, all-expanded Answer of the Week.
Not where I thought you were going to go with that.
Yeah. Right. With even more of your answers and voice messages, we love talking to you guys. So don't be afraid to Skype us anytime with anything, not just for this. Just leave us a message. We love it. Joe Patrick, what did we ask these nerds this week?
It was a twofer because we couldn't decide which was the better question. There's mine, which is obviously better.
I think we all know who has that question.
What is your favorite superhero comic or story outside of Marvel and DC? Now, our alternate question was, what are the best and worst superhero analogs in the vein of, you know, Samaritan and the Confessor being analogs of Superman and Batman?
Sure.
Well, all right, let's do some Twitter responses. Our first response came from Mike Andrews. He's writer Mike A., on the Twitter, Hypernaturals, post-singularity humanity with a quantum AI, Abnett and Lanning are the kings of sci-fi. It's more sci-fi than superhero, but it is very reminiscent of the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, it counts. It counts.
And I think that's a great answer, and he's totally right. Abnett and Lanning are doing killer work at Boom. Marvel was foolish to let these guys go.
I don't understand that.
Foolish. Another response from Twitter comes from Andrew Merzak, who asks, does Astro City still count?
Of course.
Of course it counts.
Of course.
I'm not going to say what else he says because it's part of my answer and I want to save it.
Oh, screw you, buddy. Sorry.
Hey, listen, suffice it to say that Andrew and I are simpatico.
Oh, I see.
On this one. Brian DuPont, who is at Coloring Book.
It's not Coloring Book?
It's Coloring Book, but it's abbreviated. It's C-O-L-R-I-N-G-B-K.
That's, coloring there you go. Book. Follow him. Funny guy.
Yeah, he is a funny guy. We and like he's DuPont. Posting awesome art stuff.
Yeah.
He says Invincible is great, but I like to get Jiro. And if a knife-slicing sushi chef isn't super enough, tell him if you got the cojones.
Yeah, get Jiro was great. That was fun.
He also sent in an answer for worst superhero analog.
Let's hear it.
Or perhaps best. He didn't really say.
Okay.
Aquarius from Invincible. It was short-lived, but he was the board ruler. And Aquaman analog from the Guardians of the Globe.
It's probably not worst.
No, but he sat like underwater just sitting at his throne, nothing happening because in the Invincible universe, nobody gives two shits about Atlantis.
All right, well, there you go.
Brian says, I wanted more of him.
Cool. I'm going to say that's probably his best then.
Yeah, probably his best. But it was pretty funny how they handled it in Invincible where they just showed the guy just sitting there, nothing going on. Of course, until bad things happen, but we won't get into those spoilers. Moving over to the Facebook, our first Facebook response comes from Aaron Myers, King of Askenerd, who says, while it's an allegory for mainstream superhero books, Mark Waid's Irredeemable is in my top non-Big Two superhero stories.
Right on. Totally.
Love that
and
stuff.
Also really, really good analog to Superman. Really good.
Yeah. A very scary examination of what happens when Superman goes wrong.
Right.
Melanie Dawn McGreevy, welcome aboard, Melanie.
That's female listener number 5, if my count is correct.
You know, she's posted before on the page, but I don't believe she's ever answered the question of the week. So welcome aboard.
Okay.
Her favorite superhero is Witchblade, which is fair enough.
Really?
It's not my cup of tea.
No.
But inarguably, Witchblade is superhero.
Right. No. And it's not poorly written. The fans love it. It was who was writing Witchblade forever? It was
Ron Mars wrote it.
Ron Mars.
The most recent long run was by Ron Mars.
David Wool, I think, was the other
David one. Wool was like, I think, the co-creator of Witchblade. He wrote it originally.
That's right. That's right.
She goes on to say, though, her favorite comic of all time is Poison Elves, which is what brought Melanie to us.
Hey!
Is us breaking the news on the old Poison Elves thing.
Thank you, Ape!
Not a superhero, Melanie. But thanks to...
Not a superhero.
Thanks nonetheless. I love it. Ryan Mount says, superhero, how about supervillain?
Whoa!
I'll always have a special place for Mark Miller's Wanted.
Yeah.
It was one of the first two graphic novels I ever bought that got me back into comics after a long lapse. I still read it once or twice a year. I appreciate what you're saying. I totally understand the quality of it. I fucking hate it.
You're such a baby.
I hate Wanted.
I liked Wanted.
I think Wanted is just an example to me of why Mark Miller resents comic fans.
Oh, please. But we digress. Moving on.
Listen, it's a valid answer, it's certainly a fun concept.
Yeah, it was good.
Tina Lindell. Welcome aboard, Tina.
Female listener number 6. Are you kidding me?
Her response to the question of the week is Sailor Moon.
That's adorable.
With all of the extra A's and a weird little chibi face that she somehow created.
She is a superhero. They have like hero powers. They fly around. They do crap.
I'm going to take your word for it, I had to read Tina's answer because, hey. First time responder.
Yeah, there we go. We don't get a lot of Sailor Moon talk on this neck of the woods.
That's right.
It's kind of a dude fest.
That's right. Daniel Garcia says, I love Brian K. Period Vaughn's Ex Machina. He blended 3 story arcs at the same time masterfully.
Yes.
That would be the political stuff, the superhero stuff, and the past stuff, you know, his upbringing and
the personal stuff.
Yeah, the personal stuff.
There you go.
He says it was raw and adult, and it was a superhero tale that has left an everlasting impression on me.
And it was
Tony
Harris, man.
Love Tony Harris.
Love him.
Love that dude's art. Matt Damon, not Damon.
Not Matt Damon. Let's just call him not Matt Damon.
How about this? Matt Damon writes, though arguably it's as much a cop story as a superhero one, B.M. Bendis's, he actually wrote that, which gives him extra points in my book. B.M. Bendis's and Michael Avon Oeming's powers. It went everywhere. Crime, government, conspiracy, immortals / fantasy with great characters and storytelling.
Yeah.
We're huge fans of Powers.
Yeah, definitely.
Been reading
definitely.
It since the very beginning.
Love it. Also on Facebook, but shooting us an MP3 because he's obviously smarter than we are. I didn't even know he could do this. Chris, the British guy, called in and said this.
Hey, nerds. This is Chris, the British guy. Just calling in with my answer of the week. My favorite superhero book outside the big two has to be Invincible. I love the gory action, the humor, and the art. The big reason I love it so much, though, is because anything that happens in the story that should feel weighty or significant, it just does, which is something I feel is lacking from the DC and Marvel books. I actually came quite late to the book after hearing you guys rave about it and got hold of the big hardcover collections, simply burned through them. Truth is, now I'm a little upset that I have to wait so long in between issues, but hey,
you're welcome.
Thanks a lot, guys, for such a good podcast. Keep up all the good work. Pip, pip.
That went right into some sexy slow
jams. Right into something. I don't know what that was. He's right.
Listen up. I just want to say something real fast.
Real quick. You're fucking welcome, Robert Kirkman.
I love our British listeners.
I do too. I love them all.
I love them more than our American
and
listeners.
I love
that's for sure.
That Chris the British guy goes by the nickname Chris the British guy.
That's right. And he also adds in a ridiculous British witticism whenever he writes
it.
Right. Because he knows how much we love it.
And he ends with a pip pip.
It's my favoriteest thing.
No. And you too could have a nickname if you continue to write in and call in.
That's
guys?
Right.
Come on. Come on. But he's right. Invincible. Excellent.
Yeah,
we say it time
and time and
time
keeps
again.
Coming up. There's a reason it keeps coming up.
Invincible, what Superboy wishes he could be.
We don't talk about it a lot on the show because there's really only so much you can say about Invincible every single time it comes out.
Right.
That's the reason we don't review The Walking Dead every time.
True.
Because it's just, it's The Walking Dead. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's Invincible. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But it is, as far as superhero stories go, it takes superhero stuff that is familiar, things that are tropes, turns it right on its head. I love that book.
Our Dungeon Master, Jared, called us on Skype. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, guys. It's Jared again. My favorite superhero comic / story outside of Marvel / DC, well, I would have to go to Dark Horse right away, and I would want to say Hellboy. But is Hellboy a superhero? I mean, I guess. But I tell you what, let's go with Lobster Johnson. Because Lobster Johnson, that dude is a hero. That dude's a superhero. Right?
That dude's totally
he's
high.
So high.
But he's right. Hellboy, not a superhero.
I would agree.
Lobster
he's
Johnson,
certainly an adventurer.
Lobster Johnson, spy smasher, superhero.
Pulp hero.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
He's a mystery man.
I like it.
Yeah.
Good choice. I like it.
Absolutely.
Let's see what occasional guest host Dave DeMarco had to say.
Joe and Matt at the Two-Headed Nerd. This is your occasional co-host recovering from a shotgun blast to the chest.
Still whining.
Calling to give my answer to what is my favorite story outside of comic books or outside of the big two comic books. And I think For me, it is the Tarnished Angel storyline from Astro City, mainly because it's super good, but also because I had fallen out of comic books in the 90s, and that is the story that brought me back. And as you know, it led me to meeting you and opening up Legend Comics, where you currently are employed and everything. So it's not just a good story, but it's the reason why I know you and why my life is the way it is. And I couldn't be happier. So have a wonderful day. Thank you guys both so much. And I will talk to you later.
I'm going to shoot that guy again next time I see him. What a sappy jackass. Plugging his store. No, but he's right. Tarnished Angel was fantastic.
It's absolutely true.
Amazing. And one of the reasons that we love Astro City so much.
Oh, yeah. And one of many, many reasons we love Astro City.
Joe Patrick, what else is on Facebook here?
The guys at Foreign Matter Comic wrote in.
Good guys. Foreign Matter Comics. Check out their website.
Absolutely. Marvel Man was epic. Miracle Man. Let's get real. Although, no, maybe they're British.
Yeah, if they're British.
Maybe they're British. Originally, it was called Marvel Man.
Let's not be racist.
Although they are now owned by Marvel, I loved Moore's run on Supreme for Extreme Studios, Joe Casey on Wildcats 2.0.
Good choice.
Ellis on The Authority and Hitch, followed up by Miller and Quietly. Brubaker on Sleeper with Phillips, although that was Wildstorm, so is that DC?
No.
Are Authority stories pre-DC, now considered DC? I'm confused.
No, they're not.
I say, whatever happened pre-reboot counts as outside of DC.
Totally. And you can just go ahead and say that nothing Wildstorm counts anymore.
That's right.
Because it's just like, gone.
He goes on to say, I'm sure there are others. Major Bummer by John R. Cudi is now...
Excellent.
It was originally published by DC, but it's creator-owned. I love that story. I could go on for days, he says. And those are all excellent, excellent choices. Love The Authority. We've talked about Joe Casey's Wildcats endless times.
It's so good.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Brian Domingos brings up one that I haven't thought about in 10 years. Sky Ape. A monkey with a jetpack beats all. It's like The Tick, but with funnier and much more crass jokes.
I don't know no Sky Ape.
If you disagree, I've got a Louisville shampoo for you.
Whoa.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm afraid to Google it.
Sounds like it has something to do with the baseball bat.
When I first started back in 2001 at the comic shop, and I got a hold of my first copy of Previews, and I was like, I can order anything out of this? Sky Ape was one of the things I saw first.
Fair enough.
I don't think I ever got it, but I did want it. And I'm glad that it had a nice publication run.
Okay.
Our buddy Patrick Kavanaugh, which I don't know if this is the first time he's written in or not.
No, he's written to us before.
All right, then.
Talking about Aquaman.
You're not welcome aboard, Patrick.
Yeah, screw you.
There are two ends of the spectrum, but I'd go with either Rising Stars or Flaming Carrot. Rising Stars is what got me back into comics years ago. And as for Flaming Carrot, what can I say other than, oot! I don't know if that's how you pronounce that.
Yeah, it's good enough. It's good enough.
Wade Lyle says, current Valiant Comics. The whole universe feels like one big comic or awesome novel.
Yeah, it's so good.
Or a string of damn good movies / television shows.
They're doing a great job over at Valiant.
I recently read them all in a week and wish I could live in that universe. So good. Go buy them.
I don't know. I'd be scared of the Harbingers.
Yeah, I don't want nothing to do with those guys.
Yeah, man. They're scary.
A lot of weird mind control stuff going on there. David Guffey says Hellboy. So, I don't know.
You know, it's hard to say he's not a superhero because there's like demons that are heroes in the DCU. The demon. You know what? I'm counting it. Fuck it. I'm counting it. Yes. Right on.
Okay.
BPRD feels like a superhero team book to me. You know, I'm counting it.
Well, they're government agents, right. But whatever. I get it. Zach Hollowell writes in with Madman! !
Excellent choice.
And he says that exclamation point is a lightning bolt, by the way.
Yes.
It's snappy, it's snazzy, it's got a guy with a yo-yo, it's such a wonderful mix of strange adventure and some of my favorite art and color in the business.
And one of the cutest comic heroines around, Madman's girlfriend.
Who says arranged marriages don't work? I don't understand that reference.
Yeah, me either. What about our bonus question? Let's talk about some superhero analogs here.
All right, we got some Facebook responses here. Our first is from Wooter Lammers. Wooter Lammers, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Wooter. And I don't know if you love your name because it's awesome.
Yeah. That has to be Apollo and Midnighter.
Yeah.
I like how Midnighter is even more uncompromising than Batman and how Apollo is even bigger naive Boy Scout than Superman.
Yeah.
If you want to make an analogy / parody, focusing on their main attributes and exaggerating them is the way to go. Well said.
I totally agree. And the homosexual relationship, like, it's all part of it. Like, And yeah, that's my answer as well for best analogs. I'm going with it. Warren Ellis came
you
up...
You just keep your own answer to yourself for now.
Well, I'm just giving it now so we don't have to rehash it later. Warren Ellis nailed that one. Absolutely nailed it.
Rich Gallagher writes in saying Prime, who was an analog for Shazam.
Dark Horse, right?
From Malibu's Ultraverse.
Oh, Ultraverse, sorry.
He says Malibu Comics and the Ultraverse may not have been chock full of winners, but Prime had some interesting facets. They basically took the Shazam idea and explored what it would be like with a modern kid dealing with his parents splitting up, all the pressures of high school, etc. Also, he transformed by, like, being absorbed by this snot symbiote thing that shapeshifted around him.
What?
And he had to, like, crawl his way out at the end.
Gross.
And he puked after every outing.
Really?
Yeah. That's a great answer, Rich.
Huh.
I loved Prime. Nathan Bradford writes in saying, the cast of characters from Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham.
Fair enough.
You had Goose Rider, Ductor Doom, the King Pig, with way too many...
I forgot about Goose Rider.
Way too many clever anthropomorphic analogs to list. And finally, Camarillo Brillo,
Camarillo Brillo.
Writes in with, oh man, how about every supporting character in Planetary except for the main Planetary team?
Fair enough.
They are all, yeah, superheroes, analogs.
They were all analogs.
Well said. Great answers, everybody, to both questions. Double your money. Double your fun. There's no money involved.
What? What's the double bullshit?
Two questions.
Oh, two questions. Joe Patrick, what's your favorite non-Marvel or DC superhero book?
It's Astro City. It's got to be Astro City.
Okay.
And other people mentioned this, and I got jealous and refused to read them on the show. But the one shining example of why Astro City is so much more special than any other superhero story, almost any other Marvel and DC comic, telling the stories that you just can't tell in those universes. There was a story that popped up in, of all places, the Wizard One Half issue.
Whoa. I forgot about Wizard One Halves. That was a thing.
Yeah. It was called The Nearness of You.
Oh, yes.
And it's about a guy who was plagued by visions of a woman that he didn't know, and he couldn't figure it out, and they were driving him crazy.
I remember this.
About a love and a life that he just didn't, that he remembered vividly but didn't actually experience, and it was driving him crazy. And at the end of the story, the Hanged Man, which is essentially the Spectre,
yeah,
comes to him and says, these visions you're experiencing are of your wife whose entire existence got wiped out in a time-altering crisis. And you're
so clever.
Like, this adventure of this time travel adventure went back in time and her grandparents never met. And so she never existed.
Whoa.
And so all of this stuff that you lived got erased, and through some cosmic fluke, you remember. If you want, I can take the memories away and ease your pain.
Oof.
And he decides to keep them.
Poking fun at continuity, poking fun.
No, it wasn't poking fun at all.
I think it was a little bit in the sense that he's like, look, when you just do this stuff left and right with people's creations, like all kinds of stuff gets forgotten.
See, but I don't read it as...
Maybe not
as poking fun. Because,
not making a joke, but biting.
Because
perhaps.
It's so dramatic and
right.
real and emotional. And it's just like, well, here is a consequence of this sort of thing that no one has ever thought about before.
I think it's a stab at it, too.
I don't think it is.
I think you
because
stab
Kurt Busiek wears his love of superhero comics on his sleeve.
I know.
He's not taking stabs at nothing.
He's been screwed over before.
This was right when the book started. This was like 2 years into its run.
I'm going to go with Warren Ellis' Stormwatch.
I loved
Warren Ellis' Stormwatch. And it was at a time where superhero comics were just like kind of lost in their grittiness and were barely making sense.
It was the late 90s, yeah.
And Warren Ellis came in and showed us a group of flawed heroes. And he didn't create Stormwatch. It had been around for a while. But he came in and reinvented it and gave us this group of flawed heroes that would later on become the Authority. And his final story, which was Change or Die, that took place, and it was the end of Stormwatch, was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it was this really meta look at the state of comics, I mean, not just Wildstorm, but the state of all comics, Marvel, DC, the heroes, their relevance, what they're even doing anymore, a group of villains that comes in and pretends to be heroes and does things better, but they're actually totally evil. And to defeat them, the Stormwatch characters have to be just as bad. And it's sort of looking at...
I don't remember them being evil. They were just doing what the Authority did before.
Well, no.
Before now, the characters decided, oh, they're right.
Having to make decisions that were decisions that, like, Superman or Batman could never make.
Yeah.
Basically. And aren't capable of making. And really poking fun at that whole Marvel DC superhero universe. And it was just so well done. And out of it came Apollo and Midnighter, who are my two favorite analogs, which are this perfect analogs to Superman and Batman, and they're gay. Like, it's just a little thing, you know. It's just a wonderful, wonderful story. I'll always love it, and it's one of the reasons Warren Ellis is one of my favorite writers.
I didn't bring this up as my favorite because it's published by Marvel, but my favorite superhero analogs have always been the Squadron Supreme.
That's a good answer.
Which is Marvel's homage to the Justice League.
Yeah.
You've got Hyperion.
Who's now an Avenger.
You've got Power Princess, who is obviously Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. You've got The Wizard.
Hey-o.
Who is The Flash. Doc Spectrum, who's Green Lantern. You've got a Hawkman. You've got an Aquaman. You know, you've got all of these different analogs. There's even a Black Canary and a Green Arrow. But all gone kind of wrong.
Yeah, like there's something just a little off kilter.
There, it's really kind of an early example of what Warren Ellis did with the Authority.
Oh no, definitely.
Where the superheroes decided, you know what, we know better.
Yeah,
and we're going to do what's best for you,
and they sort
whether
of
you want to or not.
Took over.
Yeah, and Squadron Supreme is my favorite, alternate version of iconic characters.
That's a great answer.
What do you got for worst?
Fighting American. I'm doing it. Even though it was created by Legends, it's just such an obvious Captain America ripoff. Well, it's terrible.
To be fair, I'm sure that Fighting American came later.
Like, what the hell were those guys thinking? Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, right? What, like, they really, like, they thought that Marvel would be okay with this?
When Fighting American throws his mighty shield.
Yeah, well, does he have a shield?
Yeah, he had a shield and everything.
Ugh.
It was so bad. Yeah. Like, how did they not just get sued into the dirt for this?
I don't know if I really have a worst. I know what I would say is the most blatant. You know, You've got the Nova Corps being essentially the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever. There's all kinds of analogs back and forth.
Yeah, I don't know. See,
only I would say that, like, DC really doesn't have a Wolverine.
Oh, sure they do. It's just, it's not...
Timberwolf?
No, Timberwolf wasn't really a Wolverine-esque character.
Who?
Though they did kind of Wolverine him up in the 90s.
Who's their Wolverine? Who's DC's Wolverine?
Who is DC's Wolverine?
They, like, tried to do it with Hawk from Hawk and Dove briefly, but it just didn't work at all.
Well, but, I mean, that... It's not... They don't have a Wolverine in the sense of they have a guy with sharp claws that goes around killing stuff.
No, but I mean, like, a guy that's the best
attitude,
he is.
That attitude. Yeah, they definitely tried to replicate that with,
like, you've got
characters.
Yeah, Deadpool and Deathstroke, you know, although Deadpool has gone a totally different direction.
Yeah, Deadpool was definitely, like, an homage to Deathstroke.
Yeah,
that they took in a
way. Wade Wilson and Slade Wilson.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was obvious from the jump that...
How do you even get away with that shit?
It was obvious from the jump that Deadpool was going to be different enough, I think.
Right,
so, I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for, like, homage characters like the Squadron Supreme or the Authority stuff.
Sure.
So, I don't really know if I have a bad example.
Had you prepared for this and thought about it before you came, you would have a bad example.
Listen, I'm just too positive.
That's the problem. Guys, we love your answers. Please keep them coming. And if you want to play along, you can find the question of the week on our Facebook page every week, Thursday, early Friday-ish.
I try for Thursdays.
Visit often. And we will see you guys right back here on TwoHeadedNerd.com for the official Not Safe for Wizards Answer of the Week Audio Extra Blog.
Perhaps there's even a little podcast archive yet to come. That's in the works, folks.
Yeah, don't get too excited.
Don't get too excited. We'll see you guys soon.
My worst is the Aquarian from the Squadron Supreme. He's kind of lame. He's got no shoes on. He's like Aquaman with bare feet.
That's why I hate him, because he doesn't wear shoes.
He's kind of lame.
They put him in flip-flops.
He's kind of lame.